anomaly, something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I do not strike you as a geek without the horn-rimmed glasses and knee-high Argyle socks. But nerdery is more than wardrobe deep, and I'm a nerd down in my heart, and that's where nerdhood rocks. I'm better acquainted than a good girl ought to be with Aragorn and Yosef Bridge and Worf and Hal and Han. But you don't really know me, and my culture don't control me, so don't you pigeonhole me, cause my phasers seem to stun. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before I could have heard that bookish girls should look and act a certain way. And I'll still be a geek when I am utterly antique, because I do not care what normal people say.
You're listening to a special Anomaly Week interview hosted by Sue from Anomaly Supplemental. Thank you, Sue.
I'm Mignon Fogarty, and I like to hand code my own podcast feeds, and I'm an anomaly.
Hi, everyone. I am here at Worldcon with Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl.
Hey, Sue.
And Mignon has graciously agreed to do a quick interview with us for our series on Geek Ladies. So, Mignon, just to start off, if you had to choose between attending Hogwarts School and the Unseen University, where would you go?
Well, you know, people who follow me know I'm a huge Terry Pratchett fan, but I've actually never read the books that include the Unseen University. So I'd have to, just based on experience alone, I would have to choose Hogwarts, because I'm more familiar with it. And I love the Harry Potter books, too.
I'm surprised by that.
I know. I love going postal and making money and We Free Men. But, I mean, there are so many Pratchett books.
There are 37,
yeah,
I think.
So I'm behind.
Okay. So we know you like Discworld. And I know you're a Battlestar Galactica fan and a Harry Potter fan. Do you have any other geeky tendencies that the Anomaly audience should know about?
I just started watching Eureka from Netflix. So I'm, you know, again, years behind. But I love watching TV shows that way because you don't have to wait. I usually end up watching two or three at a time. You know, my husband and I will finish two and I'll look at him and say, one more? So I'm loving Eureka. And, you know, of course, I was a big Star Trek The Next Generation fan and Star Trek Voyager. And just, you know, geekiness in general, I love technology, and that's why I started podcasting, is because the technology was new and it seemed cool and I wanted to play with it, and I think that's sort of a geeky thing in and of itself.
So was it the technology that inspired you to stop doing editing and start Grammar Girl, or was it another impetus?
No, actually, I was a science and technology writer, and I had a science podcast for about 8 months before I did Grammar Girl. And that was just taking too much time and not getting a lot of listeners. And so I was actually looking for something simpler to do where I didn't interview people, because I know how much work that can be. And I had a co-host, and I wanted to do something by myself because that would also make scheduling easier. So I was doing the science podcast, and as a working editor, I noticed that my clients were making the same mistakes over and over again, and I was considering a few different topics for a podcast, and grammar just seemed like the most natural for me, and I just gave it a try, and then it took off. It beyond my wildest dreams. It was supposed to just be a hobby, and I never intended it to be a business, so that's how it would, you know, just playing around with technology. And
it evolved into the entire Quick and Dirty Tips Network?
It did, because I was working in Silicon Valley, and I'd worked at a bunch of internet startups. I knew a business opportunity when I saw one. So when Grammar Girl just took off, I realized that the formula, the 5-minute quick tip could be applied to any topic, and that, you know, that, that there was an opportunity to create a network of shows.
And how many are there right now?
There are 14 or 15 now. I've actually lost count. We can't, some still exist. Some we just added some. We are in the process of adding some, and some have been canceled. So, but they're still on our website. So there are about 14 or 15 active shows.
That's really intense.
Yeah. And I don't do that by myself. I'm partnered with McMillan. They take care of the day-to-day.
So on the podcast, you debunk a lot of grammar myths that people have really strong feelings about. And are there any things that you see all the time that are actually perfectly grammatically fine that drive you crazy anyway?
There are. I have a pet peeve. I hate it when people use while to mean although.
That was a catering cart. Okay.
So I hate it when people use while to mean although. And years ago, I was going to do a podcast about it, a Grammar Girl podcast, and I started doing research and discovered it's perfectly acceptable. So it still bothers me when I see it, but I don't say anything anymore.
Okay, so what about actual errors? Are there any that you hate more than others or you see more than others?
Well, things bother me less than they used to because I've become aware of how difficult it is to master everything. So there's so much to know. What I've actually noticed is that when I don't like somebody, their errors bother me more. So I'll, you know, if someone uses irregardless and I like them, they seem cute and charming. And if it's, you know, some contractor who's working on my house that's screwing everything up and he uses irregardless, I think he's an idiot. So it seems the annoyance factor seems to be driven more by the person than the error.
Wow. So how about any questions that you get about grammar or usage that are really surprising, that you wouldn't even think there would be a question there that needs to be answered?
Yeah, I get questions that surprise me. The one that comes up a lot is people want to know the difference between then, T-H-E-N, and than, T-H-A-N. And it seems, I mean, I just know. Like, I've had a hard time coming up with a memory trick or a podcast or anything I can do about that one. And there are a few others like that. I can't think of what they are right now, but it's one of the reasons I've been thinking about writing educational songs, is because for those things where you just have to remember, you just have to know the word and what it means, it seems like maybe a song would be useful in a way that an explanation, a simple, straight explanation might not be. So I'm always looking for new ways to help people remember and learn.
That's really cool. So you're working on the song series?
I am.
A Grammar Girl CD.
Yeah. I wrote a song for National Grammar Day last year, and that was a blast. And I've definitely been thinking about doing more. I don't know if I'll get to it this year because I have more books due, but it was fun, and I want to do it, and I think it would help people. So I'm sure, you know, within the next few years, I will.
That's really fun. So in September, the Anomaly episode that's coming out is our Geek Girl Stereotype Roundtable. So we want to get your opinions and perspective on being a woman, being a geek, and the women that we see both in fandom and on television. So who were your real-life or fictional heroes growing up or as a kid in Geekland, and what influence have they had on you?
Yeah, I thought about this, and I don't remember a lot of heroes from my childhood. I mean, I loved the Super Friends, and of course Wonder Woman was part of that. But right. I don't remember her standing out as a particular role model. It may just be poor memory. But that was the one question I was having trouble with.
Is there anybody that inspires you today?
I'm inspired by people who are brilliant at what they do, and I've been enjoying Brandon Sanderson's work lately. The Mistborn series in particular, the way it wrapped up at the end and there were the threads throughout, I was just amazed by the thought and plotting and detail that went into that writing. So, you know, I'd say his work is an inspiration.
Do you say it's the work and the creator more than the characters or the story?
Yeah, definitely. It's the word usage and the form of the story. I mean, Terry Pratchett, too. Like, I just love the way he writes, you know? And that's an inspiration to me, and it would be whether he were a man or a woman or alive or dead or, you know, an alien.
So, in the stories, are there any characters that you relate to, or do you really want to get into the language?
I mean, you have to care about the characters or find them funny. I mean, with Pratchett, often I just find his characters
hilarious.
Yeah, and I love to laugh. So that's a big appeal from Pratchett to me. With Brandon Sanderson, I find myself caring more about the characters. There's more character development, and that does matter. Like Van in the Mistborn series was a character that I cared about.
Are there any works or genres or authors in particular who do a really good job of creating women characters, in your opinion, or any that particularly don't?
There was one that I really liked that stood out to me. It was the Noble Dead series by Barb and J.C. Hendy. And the characters were Majory and Lysille. And so it was a man and a woman, and they were going on adventures together. But the woman was a very strong character, and there was almost no romantic interaction between...
That's really rare.
Yeah, it's really rare. It stood out, and I did not think the story lacked for it. I really liked that whole series, The Noble Dead. And, you know, I don't think Majory and Lysille got it on once. You know? I don't think they even kissed. They set up a business together at the end. You know, they were business partners, and it was about their partnership, but not in a romantic way. And that really appealed to me because it was so different, and I really liked it because she was such a strong character.
It always makes me crazy in any fiction, not just genre fiction, where there's some kind of relationship that has to be forced with the female characters. Like, it's not necessary.
I've been reading The Wheel of Time. I just started that. And you know, it's funny because there was a panel the other day and they were talking about how it had strong female characters. And I found the female characters kind of annoying. And I'm only a couple books in, so and it is getting better. But Nynaeve... They completely forced this relationship with Lan. It was so implausible. Like, they had barely met. They didn't know each other. And suddenly they're madly, secretly in love, you know, and pining because they can't have each other. It was ridiculous, and it seemed so unnecessary.
So do you see a difference in your reading between the way that male and female authors write male and female characters?
You know, I hadn't noticed in the past, but I was thinking about it for this interview, and, you know, I like Hermione in Harry Potter, and that's written by a woman. I like Majory in The Noble Dead, and a woman is a co-author on that. And there was a third one. Oh, you know, The Hunger Games. I really like Katniss. I thought she was a strong female character and, you know, mildly tied up in romantic stuff, but that wasn't the main point. She was very strong, and that's written by a woman. So I had never thought about it before, but the female characters I tend to really like have all been written by women, as far as I can remember.
Well, when I rattle off my favorite authors, they tend to all be men, and I never really realized that before I started coming up with interview topics. But I love the women the way Terry Pratchett writes them. Like, I love Granny Weatherwax, and I love Esk, who only appears in two books, and Tiffany Aching. And
yeah, Tiffany's great.
And I don't know if it's rare or if I just haven't read enough of that type of fantasy, where he's really great, in my opinion, at portraying women.
Yeah. I don't remember women particularly in Going Postal and Making Money, which are two of my favorites, but... I remember when I think a woman was like a bad guy in Making Money, but I don't. It's sort of an extreme
a little bit,
character,
yeah.
But I don't remember. Nothing stands out.
So the women that are getting it right, that are writing these female characters, is it because they're women writing for women, or is there something else that's happening that they're doing right?
I don't think any of those books are particularly for women.
Well, writing female characters is what I mean.
Yeah.
Not for women in terms of chick lit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess what I like about all of them is that they're strong and they don't necessarily care about what the men in their life think. You know, I guess that's the common theme.
So, do you think that female characters are portrayed differently between print and visual media?
Yes, dear God. I mean, like, how many fantasy novels do we have to have the woman in the equivalent of a bikini with a sword? I mean, it's ridiculous. I hate it.
I personally hate especially the transfers from novel to movie or from novel to television show where the female character is never described as wearing nothing, but suddenly she is.
I know. Why? Why is that necessary? Like, is it hot in space?
But other than the clothing, do you think they act differently on television? Are there more bimbos on TV or in movies?
Yeah, I think there are. And I mean, maybe that's necessary to appeal to a wide audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, but...
So that is all of the episode-related questions that I have. Would you like to tell us about your current projects?
Sure. I have a new series of books, 101. I have 101 words books, which is a series. There will be 4 books for sure in the series, maybe more. And 101 misused words, you'll never confuse again, just came out. It's doing very well. It made the Washington Post bestseller list.
Yay!
And 101 words every high school graduate needs to know. And then in November, 101 words, something like 101 words every smart person uses, or something like that. That was a challenge. There aren't 101 words that every smart person uses, but or that will make you sound smart. But, you know, if you use these, it's a good start. They're good words to know. And then the next one will be 101 troublesome words. So, you know, there are a lot of words that are undergoing changes. And so some people will object to how they're used, and other people will not even realize there's a controversy. So those are what I'm working on now and what I'll be working on for the next year or so. And they're great. They're little impulse buys. They're only $6. So they're easy for people to buy, too.
I was speaking a couple of months ago to a woman who identified herself as a high school teacher, mm-hmm. and I used the word subsequent, mm-hmm. and she asked me what it meant.
Yikes.
So there's some quick research.
Yeah. I mean, it
was unfortunate.
I'll benefit from vocabulary. You know, the 101 high school words every high school graduate should know, I have had many people pick it up and say, I didn't know that one. You know, people who were college graduates. So, you know, I didn't think they were particularly difficult words, but we can all learn to stand to use learn a few more words. I mean, I could too, I'm sure. So.
So then what, being the word expert, is the difference between geek, nerd, and dork?
Oh, geek, nerd, and dork. I do think of them differently. So I think of a geek as someone who is into technology. You know, a geek tends to be someone, at least in my mind, who is into computers or electronics or some sort of techie, you know, science, even a science geek. I guess it can also be someone who is fixated on one particular thing. You know, you can be a band geek or a science geek or a computer geek. A nerd, I think a nerd tends to be more academic and studious than a geek.
Okay.
You know, a nerd, I think of as more like loving knowledge for knowledge's sake and still being obsessive about things, but, you know, deep into things. And then dork, I used to use that, and then someone wrote in and told me it's slang for penis. I did not know that, so I have stopped using dork altogether.
Amazing. So, awesome. That's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sue.
In '04, Dequan's dance groove swept the country. And suddenly, old moon boots were Italian haute couture. Time magazine reported that our time had finally come. I guess they didn't know that we already ran the world.
I'll Still Be a Geek was courtesy of Marion Call. You can find out more about Marion a little later this week. We'll be interviewing her. Or you can go straight to MarionCall.com. Thank you, Marion. Keep your eye on the Anomaly feed for another interview in 2 days. In the meantime, visit AnomalyPodcast.com. That's AnomalyPodcast.com for contact information and more. Thank you very much for listening.
Nobody thinks it's chic. You will find that I have nothing to defend.
Oh, I don't need your approval in the end.
Hi, this is I am a voiceover artist and a geeky musician and a podcaster, and I am an anomaly. It's just true. I love the Anomaly podcast. It's really a lot of fun. I like listening to it, and I think it's worthy of your listen, too. So just keep it right here and listen, 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 listen. Send in your donations to help them keep it going all the time and do cool things like participate in their discussions and go to the forum and all that jazz. It's really, really a lot of fun. Hey, and you can find my music by going to the Anomaly Podcast website, anomalypodcast.com, and then you look over on the side, and I'm a sponsor of the Anomaly Podcast. Go figure. And you can get all three of my albums just by clicking on them. So there. Thanks for listening to the Anomaly Podcast. Girls, ladies, you rock.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Hokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.